Welcome to the Newsbusters podcast with your host, executive editor of Newsbusters, Tim Graham.
Hello and welcome. Joining us here in the Newsbusters community with the podcast. Today, let's take a look at President Biden giving a speech in Atlanta. You always notice that Biden can't make it to the border. It's too logistically complicated, but he can make what's basically a campaign visit here. The Washington Post had a story, I guess it was on Saturday, about Biden's wonderful because he energetically goes to funerals. And nowhere in this story that was all about buffing Biden and making him look like a great, compassionate human being do they say, oh, he can't make it to the border. Bad optics. But he can go to Harry Reid's funeral and everybody thinks it's great. He went to Bob Dole's funeral and that's great. So here he is yesterday. He's going to Atlanta to speak on voting rights. And what he can count on is the sound of state-run TV recapitulating what he's going to say even before he says it. Take, for example, one extremely cooperative Mika Brzezinski.
The White House released this portion of the president's speech. Listen carefully. The next few days when these bills come to a vote will mark a turning point in this nation. Will we choose democracy over autocracy, light over shadow, justice over injustice? I know where I stand. I will not yield. I will not flinch. I will defend your right to vote and our democracy against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And so the question is, where will the institution of United States Senate stand?
Just the language in this. I don't know about you, but I'm for light over shadow. I'm for justice over injustice. I'm democracy's Batman. Come on. This is not a language that uniters use. If you're a uniter, you say, let's come together and pass something helpful, not, I am light and you are darkness. I am good and you are evil. I am science and you are disease. Whatever. You're bifurcating your unity to pieces. Then came the evening shows. He gives his speech in the afternoon in Atlanta. And, of course, on the evening news shows, the narratives are all the same. For example, let's see how they describe the site of choosing Atlanta. On ABC, Cecilia Vega, in Atlanta, the heart of the civil rights movement, President Biden today visiting the grave of Martin Luther King Jr., later calling this a defining moment in history, demanding the Senate pass voting rights laws. Sounds awfully similar. Ed O'Keefe on CBS, speaking from the cradle of the civil rights movement, President Biden today said the need to pass new voting rights legislation is urgent. And then you go, Lester Holt, starting off the NBC Nightly News, from the cradle of the civil rights movement. You notice that it's the heart or the cradle, pick one. From the cradle of the civil rights movement, President Biden today appealed to the lessons of history in his strongest call yet for the passage of voting rights legislation and announcing his support for an exception to the Senate filibuster rule in order to get it done. He appealed to the lessons of history in his strongest call yet. That is actually very polite language for the smears that Biden unloaded. So let's get out the scorecard. How did these shows do? ABC, CBS, NBC. Well, ABC wins as the absolute worst. How so? There were no Republicans in Cecilia Vega's story. CBS had a little Republican, little snippet. NBC had a little snippet. They give like 6 or 8 seconds to the Republican counterpoint. ABC had none of that. No, what they had in that was 6 Biden soundbites. 6! Adding up to 91 seconds of airtime. So this is about a 3-minute story. It was 2 minutes, 45 seconds. So it was more than half the story. It was just Biden speaking. And then, instead of getting a Republican or even a Senate defender of the filibuster, they mention them, but they don't quote them. They don't speak to them. No, you get a soundbite or two from a woman of color named Bridget Muldrow there in Atlanta. She says, this is the new Jim Crow 2.0. Who is this woman? You know, they never really research these people. Vega called her a child care worker. I went and did a little Googling, and you get to Bridget Muldrow's LinkedIn page where she says she's a teaching assistant. That doesn't sound like a child care worker. At an Atlanta public school called, get this, the Barack and Michelle Obama Academy. Now imagine putting that on screen under her name. The lady from the Obama Academy thinks the Republicans are Jim Crow. And Vega, of course, since this was a big setup, then asked her, you feel like you're being targeted as an African-American woman in this state? And she says, yes, and I don't appreciate it. I mean, this is the kind of stilted garbage that these people call news. You put on a woman. So the whole conceit here was Bridget Muldrow used to vote by mail, but she's a child care worker, so she won't be able to do that this time. Or I guess maybe Bridget Muldrow liked to vote by dropping it off in a drop box. Now she can't vote. Well, nobody really says. Here's the interview we're not getting from Cecilia Vega. Okay, why can't you vote after the school day lets out at the Obama Academy? Is school hours from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.? Or does it let off at 2:30 and somehow you've got 5 hours to get there and can't vote? Well, the lines are so long. This is where I'm always kind of befuddled, that they always say that the blacks have these horrible lines in a city like Atlanta. Atlanta hasn't had a Republican mayor in forever, and not even a white mayor. It's always in these cities with black Democrat mayors that have terrible voting for black people. So who's to blame for that? Who's Jim Crow 2.0 in this scenario? It's just embarrassing. Now, the other thing that ABC did that was terrible was they skipped over the inconvenient fact that Stacey Abrams, who's running for governor again, who thinks she's still governor now, she skipped over the Biden event. This voting rights is her issue. She couldn't quite make it. They made fun of that on Morning Joe. ABC didn't have it. CBS didn't have it either. To sum up, I really like the tweet from Nikki Haley, former governor of South Carolina. She said, being against federalizing our elections does not make you a racist, but believing minorities aren't capable of obtaining IDs does. This was in response to the big Biden clip. Biden, the uniter, says, you're either with us or you're George Wallace. You're either with us or you're Bull Connor. You're either with us, we're Lincoln, and you're Jefferson Davis.
So I ask every elected official in America, how do you want to be remembered? At consequential moments in history, they present a choice. Do you want to be on the side of Dr. King or George Wallace? Do you want to be on the side of John Lewis or Bull Connor? Do you want to be on the side of Abraham Lincoln or Jefferson Davis?
This is the most obnoxious smear. Now, do you think any of the fact checkers will get involved? No, because we chronicled last year, Joe Biden went around and said Jim Crow 2.0. He said the Republicans make Jim Crow look like Jim Eagle, whatever the hell that means. They don't care. Left-wing rhetorical excess does not get fact-checked. Now, if you call John Ossoff of Georgia a socialist, pants on fire! They get very upset at anything you say that makes a liberal Democrat look bad. They'll pounce! The fact-checkers pounce! But you can say, you're either with us or you're Bull Connor, George Wallace. You're a segregationist. You believe in separate bathrooms for whites and blacks. That's the kind of thing. Separate schools. This is the kind of stuff that they're basically suggesting, that not only the Republicans are this, but the Democrats too. We were discussing this in the office. Kyle Drennan was comparing this speech to Trump's inaugural speech, the American Carnage speech, which the news media absolutely hated. Well, it depends on the direction. Obviously, at an inaugural, you expect some sort of grand unity speech. This was another area where I think Trump decided, I'm going to do things differently than other presidents. I don't really feel like being a uniter right now. And let's face it, if he had given a uniter speech, if he'd written a speech like he was pretending to be George W. Bush, they would have hated that too. Let's be fair. They would have said, well, this Trump said uniting things, but we all know he's a terrible person. So when Trump gave his inaugural in 2017, what happened? Chuck Todd said, this is a risk. He has to get depth of support. He did not go for any breadth today. He needs to expand his base. Hallie Jackson on NBC called it throwing verbal grenades at the very establishment surrounding him. Rude. Over on CBS, Scott Pelley said Trump destabilized things further by attacking Republicans and Democrats by saying they were the ones who sold out those people in the audience. Okay, Scott Pelley, you genius. What was Joe Biden saying? Anybody who's against me is George Wallace. Wouldn't that be destabilizing things further by attacking Republicans and Democrats? Then there's over on the Jake Tapper show, you know, here's this thing that happens. My coworkers have coined a term for it when I get very angry. They call it a gram page. And so I'm in the car waiting for my Arby's, and I'm looking down at my cell phone, and there's a video tweet from Nick Fondacaro. And Bakari Sellers goes on the Jake Tapper show, and it's not enough that the Republicans are so-called segregationists. Sellers singled out five Democrats as like the segregationists. He even dared to say, Chris Coons is a friend of mine, but he's basically a Klansman. Some friend you are, Bakari.
This is as clear as I can be, Jake. And Chris Coons is a friend of mine. But if Chris Coons, John Tester, Mark Kelly, Kyrsten Sinema, and Joe Manchin want to be on the side of George Wallace, want to be on the side of Strom Thurmond and many others who stood in the way of civil rights, even Strom Thurmond came around on voting rights, but if they want to go down in history as standing on the side of segregationists and those individuals who oppose people who look like me having free and fair access to the ballot, then we will remember them as such. This is that type of moment, and this is the urgency we have to have.
So I'm in the Arby's line, and I'm going to say, I got to tweet over this. And of course, at that particular moment, right after I'd seen this, I wanted to tweet something really mean, like, Bakari Sellers is a terrible human being. Well, then the food came, so got to go. I decided instead to just say the obvious, which is, maybe the so-called independent fact-checkers will get involved now that you're calling Democrats segregationists. We'll have to see if that happens. Or again, left-wing rhetorical excess, never unfactual. Now, Jake Tapper didn't really stand up to this at all. He just sort of proclaimed that, well, Bakari here was echoing President Biden, and then he turned to say, well, Democrats like Manchin and Sinema here are worried about Republicans gaining the majority and being able to pass, oh, a nationwide abortion ban or something terrible like that with a, you know, majority of 51. So he wasn't there to enforce any sort of decency. As much as Jake Tapper marches around saying he's for decency, he's letting Biden and Bakari Sellers say this stuff and not calling it out. Somehow it just doesn't matter. Whether it's fair, whether it's factual, all that matters is will this rhetorical pressure tactic work? But I think we already know it doesn't work. Because we know last year, Biden and the Bidenites, they dragged all this Jim Crow baloney out last year and it didn't work in passing this bill. What we really need here, what Lester Holt could have done last night, but obviously chose not to, was to put Chuck Todd on the nightly news and to play pundit. So, Chuck, what are the chances this is going to pass? Chuck Todd should say what he said in 2017. He might not want to say it now. This is no way to actually get more votes is by telling you, vote for me or you're a frickin' Klansman. You're standing in the schoolhouse door with Orville Faubus. Good Lord. And then what's funny about this is that, yeah, this isn't happening. This is what Jake Sherman said, formerly of Politico, now at something called Punch Bowl News, which to me seems an unfortunate metaphor. What are they, the turd in the punch bowl? He was on this issue. Stephanie Ruhle on MSNBC was upset that the Manchin cinema block isn't going to budge. And Sherman said, yep, I don't know why anyone thinks anything is going to change here.
Okay, but Jay, can we get brutal here for a second? It doesn't matter how big of a speech the president is making. Unless these two are willing to vote to change the rules that will pass a bill, none of this matters.
No, it doesn't matter. I mean, it matters because the base wants to see Biden fight, and that's what he's going to do. But Manchin and Sinema, I mean, Sahil and I have heard them say thousands of times that they are not interested in changing the rules. As Sahil put it, they're very interested. Manchin seems interested in minor changes in the rules. They're not going to change the filibuster. Manchin is a filibuster supporter. I'm not sure why that's not coming through to Democrats. Manchin supports the filibuster. He supports the 60-vote threshold. He supports those measures. He supports those tactics. So I'm not sure why people think all of a sudden he's going to change his point of view. He's not. He's made that abundantly clear.
This is one of those things that shows you that the networks who say they're in the news business are all about Democrat messaging. The Democrats messaged this voting rights stuff for months. It didn't work. Then they moved on to Build Back Better. They all used the term Build Back Better because they're Democrat messengers. That didn't pass because of Manchin and Sinema. Now they switched back to voting rights. Maybe they're doing this because it's Martin Luther King Day is coming. But guess what? Now the Martin Luther King Day people, which is supposed to be a unifying holiday, isn't it? But no, they're running around saying, the backers of Martin Luther King Day say they won't celebrate Martin Luther King Day unless they get this bill passed. Fine. I guess everybody can go to work on Martin Luther King Day. Nobody in that side is interested in unity. Martin Luther King Day is not an American holiday. It's a holiday for the black left. That's the way they're acting. But you can't call them the black left. This is what's amazing. And that is, you can't disagree with Biden from the right. It's somehow undemocratic or disreputable to suggest that integrity in our elections is important and we're going to oppose these bills. But it is wonderfully righteous to be on the left and want to jam your left-wing agenda down our throats. And then when you do that, what is the terms the left-wing media uses? Voting rights advocates, civic engagement groups, all that kind of garbage. They're always pretending these people are nonpartisan, where they're the partisan aggressors here. They're the ones that are pressuring Biden to call everybody Bull Connor and Strom Thurmond. Biden's responding to his radical left. That's why he's making this garbage speech. And that's why the networks all promote it, because they're all interested in radical left garbage instead of giving us a news product that balances this out, that lets the Republicans speak. But there's a debate now. These networks all were like, oh, let's go find people who boycotted this today. Well, we'll skip over the Stacey Abrams part. That's additionally embarrassing. But they're going to go find people to say Biden's not leftist enough. And that's an honorable position. That could not be considered an extremist position. And several of the networks did what they always do on these. They go get a map out and say 19 states have passed voting rights restrictions. Citation, Brennan Center. It's a center named for William Brennan, the radical left Supreme Court justice that Dwight Eisenhower was stupid enough to nominate. Oops. Whoopsie. But this happens too. I did something on this about NPR. NPR put on the Brennan Center for Justice to discuss the voting rights debate a few weeks ago. And they announced that's a nonpartisan think tank that works to defend systems of democracy and justice. No, it's a left-wing hack group. Just look at the Open Secrets website if you want to look at campaign donations. OpenSecrets.org. So you can screen this by, I need to look at contributions by employees of the Brennan Center for Justice, people who list the Brennan Center for Justice on their occupation when they donate to federal candidates. What I found is pages of contributions only to Democrats. There are 55 donations to Democrats or liberal PACs just in 2020. There were 282 donations listed and not one single Republican in the 282 donations. And they want to call this a nonpartisan group. Their employees donated to Obama for president, Hillary for president, Biden for president, and then they get presented by the networks as a nonpartisan group. Because guess what? The networks are 99% Democrat and they present themselves as nonpartisan. I should underline, Bill D'Agostino has a new explainer video out. There's some hot talk in there. His big point about voting rights, and they all use this lingo of voting rights, and it suggests that somehow the Republicans are against voting rights or they're restricting voting rights. Bill quite clearly says none of these bills strips anyone of their right to vote. If they want to vote, they turn out and they vote. What they're trying to say is, this is the game the Democrats play. If you don't have 24-hour drop boxes or unlimited mail-in voting, or you let people vote in the general election in July, you're for restricting voting rights. Any law that makes voting less convenient in any way is called a war on voting. Nobody's right to vote is stripped. What they're saying is we go back to Bridget Muldrow, who can't seem to vote unless there's a drop box. If voting is so important, why can't you take an hour out and go vote then? Go find the polling place. Google where your polling place is. Show up, line up, vote. Nobody's stopping you. There's no Jim Crow segregationist blocking the door of the polling station. But, you know, this is the way that the news media operate, these so-called quote-unquote news media, which is they think it's absolutely fine to say Republicans and moderate Democrats are segregationists. And then, of course, CNN is now running around again after the 1-6 stuff saying Trump is Hitler. You know, when they hired Jesse Waters at Fox, both Stelter and Darcy in the CNN media unit called him flamethrower. Fox now is a lineup of flamethrowers in prime time, said Stelter. CNN's a flamethrower. Comparing Trump to Hitler, comparing the conservative movement to the enablers of Hitler, that's flamethrowing. I mean, just listen to this clip from the Fareed Zakaria special. It's quite clear that Zakaria says, basically, that Hitler consolidated power by killing his enemies and his rivals. And then they run a soundbite of Trump saying you need to be strong. What's implied there? It's like Zakaria's basically saying, yeah, if Trump gets elected in 2024, he's going to start killing his conservative helpers.
But within weeks, Adolf Hitler made himself a dictator. And soon, he was killing off enemies and rivals, including many of the right-wing insiders who had enabled his rise. Democracy in Germany was dead.
You'll never take back our country with weakness. You have to show strength and you have to be strong.
It's Lessons for America.
We will not take it anymore.
Are sobering.
Stop the steal.
The willingness of mainstream conservatives to back on a potentially authoritarian option. Because of fear of their rivals is something that I think we're seeing playing out in the United States today.
It's over!
Does that sound plausible to anyone? These are the people that are all yelling at Facebook about misinformation, why they spew it for 60 minutes on a Sunday night. I just get tired of this idea that, oh, mainstream conservatives are backing potentially authoritarian options. CNN can't possibly consider that mainstream conservatives are opposing potentially authoritarian COVID options like vaccine mandates. Oh, no, no, that's positive authoritarianism. You know, in 2019, this is a pattern. Fareed Zakaria had another Sunday night rage fest that was called State of Hate, the Explosion of White Supremacy. This is what you call it when they have a Klansman picnic and like 57 guys show up. The Explosion of White Supremacy. You know, they have these protests in Charlottesville. And what happens is you get like 50 or 100 dorks with Nazi flags. And then there's like 8,000 left-wing protesters. I mean, what's exploding and what's not? In 2016, Zakaria had, to me, just sort of a preposterous Sunday night special on the legacy of Barack Obama, which, of course, roasted Obama's enemies as dangerous fanatics. Zakaria was upset that even as the Obama inaugural events were going on and they were dancing in their dresses and tuxes, Republicans were plotting their opposition. I thought CNN was in favor of democracy, but here it was like, even on Inauguration Day, the Republicans are deciding how to be Republicans and actually oppose things. How dare they? It's Inauguration Day. You're supposed to submit. And yeah, the famous part in there to me, or the infamous part, was it comes around and Zakaria concludes by saying, the Obama administration was largely scandal-free. Gosh, I hate that. I mean, talk about misinformation. Talk about gaslighting. CNN's basically trying to play a really sloppy Jedi mind trick. There were no Obama scandals. There was no Benghazi. There was no dying in the Veterans Affairs hospitals because of incompetence. There was no politically inspired abuse of the Internal Revenue Service. There was no Solyndra. There was no letting guns be run in the Fast and Furious. Let the guns run to Mexico so federal officials can be shot. No Obama scandals. It was largely scandal-free. Frankly, it sounds more like CNN was largely fact-free when it comes to justifying Obama and the Obama legacy. CNN is not so much news as it is messaging. No matter how much Oliver Darcy runs around and says, Fox News is not a news network. Look at your own network, pal. Why don't you shut up? Why don't you look at your own? Why don't you watch your own network instead of watching Fox all day? Watch CNN all day and tell me that's fair and balanced. You know better. We all know better. All you have to do to know that CNN is a partisan bandwagon is come to NewsBusters. Just come by once, twice, 24 times a day. Thanks for listening.